But we're glad you're here, and I hope that this lesson this morning will be meaningful to you. One verse. Shouldn't be that long of a sermon, should it? I'll see what I can do about that. The slothful man says, "There's a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets." What in the world? Well, a slothful man, as the old King James calls it. I'm not sure what the new King James says. I didn't look it up, but that's all right. This is a lazy fella. It's a lazy man. And he doesn't want to get out of bed and go to work. So his excuse for not getting up and going out is, well, there might be a lion in the streets and I might get killed. Today we could say something like, well, I don't want to get up and go to work today because I might get involved in an automobile accident. Yeah, it's possible. I don't want to get up and go to work today. One of those Boeing airplanes might fall out of the sky and land on me. Well, what if it lands on your house? You'd been better off going to work, wouldn't you? Well, this man in this proverb knows that lions were not usually found running the streets of the cities. This was simply his excuse for not doing what he knew he should be doing. Benjamin Franklin said, "He that is good at making excuses is seldom good for anything else." And how true that is. We see in the book of Jonah that he ran from his duty. He not only didn't just stay where he was and not do anything, he went in the opposite direction. And the devil provided him a ship going to Tarshish. We see the spies that were dispatched to spy out Canaan land. In Numbers 13, and they brought a fearful report. Well, 10 of them did. Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go." And the other one said, "Oh no, we can't, because they're like giants, and we're but grasshoppers in their sight." Didn't consider the devastation that a swarm of millions of grasshoppers can cause. One snowflake's not that big a deal, is it? I'm speaking of in the weather. But you take a bunch of snowflakes, we know what can happen. To the slothful Christian, his lion could be any number of things. In the winter, it's cold weather. It's too cold. In the summer, guess what? Yeah, somebody said it's too hot. The slothful, the indifferent, the apathetic Christian will invent his lions. You know, some folks began the new life with great, great ambition. They're ready to baptize the world. They're ready to evangelize everyone. But as electricity and water, they'll take the path of least resistance. And so eventually it becomes a dread to even do the remotely simplest things. They desire the easier way, and they will expend only a fraction of their energy and time for the Lord. That happens more often than we like to admit. Even among ourselves, or to ourselves. I remind you what Jesus said, and some of these verses are not going to be in your outline because I revised my sermon after I printed or after I did the bulletins. But Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said, "No man, having put forth his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." He's got his lion, and it's behind him, and he's looking back there, and he's looking back, he's looking away, he's looking elsewhere from the goal. So they have began with a great ambition, but then when the new wears off, then they start inventing their lions. And they say, well, there's no one to help me, or I can't do as well as so-and-so, or I can't teach a class because I don't know my Bible like I should. Well, what are you doing about that? And I like this one, and I've heard this one before. I don't come to Bible study because I don't understand it. So when you get sick, you don't go to the doctor because you're sick? When you're hungry, you don't eat because you're hungry? That excuse only seems to work when people say, well, I don't come to Bible study because I just don't understand the Bible. And so every attempt to rise above oneself has been met with these imaginary lions. The lions in the street that kept the lazy man from going out. The wayward member has his lions for not returning to the church, to returning to Christ. He says, nobody cares. And maybe some congregations are like that. But in 1 Peter 5, 7, the Bible says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. So even when you think nobody on earth cares, God cares. And he cared enough to send the very best. John 3:16. Other people say, well, I'm just no good. They've written themselves off. That's an imaginary lion. There is nobody on the earth that God cannot save if they meet the demands of Scripture. They'll say something like, well, the people just will not accept me. God will. God will accept you. In Acts 10:35, the Bible says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Again, God will accept us, but not accept us in our sin. We have to repent and fear God and do works of righteousness, obedience, not meritorious extra credit kind of works. I'm talking about obedience to the faith, the obedience of faith. That statement bookends the book of Romans. It's found in Romans chapter 1 and in Romans chapter 16, the obedience of faith. And one who has been mixed in with the wrong crowd shares his lions. We've probably all been there at one time or another, probably associated with people we shouldn't be associated with, doing things we shouldn't be doing. But they'll make their excuses. Why don't you come to church? Why don't you come to Christ? Well, I just don't have any good friends. What? What's that have to do with anything? So you don't have any good friends. When I got back in the church, I had to dump a lot of friends. Well, they dumped me. Their loss. I'm a wonderful person. People say, well, it's no use. I'm already marked. I'm already marked. I can't be good. People won't accept me. Well, you know, there was a fellow in the Bible named Paul. And he was marked too. Do you remember when he was stricken blind on the road to Damascus? And he was told to go on into the city. And then there was a young preacher named Ananias who was sent to him. And Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints in Jerusalem. Paul was already marked too, wasn't he? But he ended up writing most of the New Testament. At least the most number of books that we have. That's an imaginary lion. And I've heard people say it. I can't go to church. Why? I've been such a bad dude. If I walked in, the roof would collapse. That's rubbish. You might have been a wicked person, but the love and the power of God is greater than your wickedness. But I'll be judged by my friends. Well, you might be judged by your friends on earth, but it won't be your friends judging you when the Lord returns. It'll be God Almighty, the righteous judge, who doesn't make mistakes, who doesn't play favorites. That's something to consider. A person even who has been made to see their sin and their sinful condition can have his lions. Oh, I know the Bible's true. I believe in the Bible, but I've got plenty of time. I'm young. I got my whole life ahead of me. I baptized a young man when he was 13 years old. Had his whole life ahead of him. I officiated his funeral when he was 22. His whole life didn't take very long. Jesus said, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 24:42. Well, yeah, I know I should go to church. I know I should be faithful, but I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as some of those members you got down there at that church. I've been out and seen and heard how some of those members talk. I've seen some of those members stumbling out of the beer joint. I'm not as bad as them. Paul said, we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves by themselves. He says, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. If you want to see how good you're doing as a Christian, don't look at the person beside you in the pew. Look at the life of Jesus Christ. Look to the scriptures. It's not a very noble thing to say, well, I'm as good as everybody else in the church. That doesn't mean anything. One rat in a sinking boat's just as good as another rat in a sinking boat. But we're called to be better than that. We're not called to be better than our brethren. We're called to be better than who we were yesterday. If we want to compare ourselves, let's compare ourselves to Jesus. And if we're honest, it'll take us back a little bit, won't it? There are many lions in the way of many Christians today. There's a lion of a lack of faith. They simply will not believe, or they will not acknowledge that the kingdom of God must come first. Matthew 6:33. They won't employ the faith of Christ to deny themselves and take up the cross of Christ. Oh, it'll be Christ first at church. It'll be Christ first in Bible study. But that's what the preacher expects us to say. So that's what we'll say in church. But when we get out, you know, out in the real world, as if the church is not real, then we got to look out for number one. Then we got to do things differently. That's a mistake. We have the line of being too busy to study the Bible. The psalmist said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Psalm 1:1-2. Excuse me. We're too busy for good works. We're too busy to do good things. It's an imaginary lion. Look at Luke 14:15. This is not in your outline. Luke 14:15. "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat the bread in the kingdom of God. And then said he unto them," this is Jesus, unto these disciples, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses." They brought their lions up. "The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Imaginary lions. Now, even if you can, by some hermeneutical gymnastics, justify these excuses that are being used here, the lesson, the point of the parable is still this: Christ first. I mean, who's going to buy a piece of land without looking at it? Who's going to go buy a yoke of oxen without first looking at them, seeing if they're up to the task? This is the slothful man saying, there's a lion in the street. Matthew 25:35. That great parable of the judgment. There are things that need to be done as Christians. And frankly, any excuse we can come up with will not be sufficient. Now, there are reasons people can't come to church sometimes. Our brother Jerry's in the hospital, for one example. We have folks who honestly do not feel up to the task, whether they can't drive here safely or what have you. But there are a lot of excuses, a lot of lions that might be out there behind the corner. We have the lion of love of the world. You know, the world's just too attractive. We don't want to miss out on the fun because we've been conditioned by society to think that's the measure. They say we should do this, whoever they are. For some, the lion is that the church is just too narrow. Well, if the church is narrow, that's because God's word is narrow. Well, they think they're the only ones going to heaven. Well, in Ephesians 4:4, we learn that there's one body. And in Colossians 1:18, we learn that the one body is the church. So if I say that there is only one true church, I'm being biblically accurate. And the one true church is the one that is following what the New Testament says. So according to the Bible, there is only one true church. Do we in the church permit ourselves to find these imaginary lions that keep us from doing what we should be doing? Do we ever invent lions to keep us from attending services, to keep us from attending Bible study and gospel meetings and from doing good works? Do we invent lions to keep us from obeying the gospel of Christ? Many of the lions that keep folks from the church are really people just lying to themselves to make them feel better. And I guess as long as we feel good, it doesn't matter how Christ feels. I don't have to go to church every time the doors are open. I don't have to go to Bible study. I don't have to quit whatever sin I'm engaged in. I don't have to be baptized. I was sprinkled in this denomination, or I was poured water on in this group. The lions are imaginary. But the need to obey the gospel and be faithful is very real. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I would encourage you to remember the words of Jesus when he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." If you have the faith that Jesus is the true Son of God, you're willing to repent of your sins, we would be more than glad to take your confession and assist you in your obedience to the gospel by being baptized into Christ. If you are a Christian and your lions have been running wild, we'd like to offer this opportunity for you to put the lions down. Come back to the faith. Come back to Christ. Rededicate your life, whatever you want to call it, whatever you need to do. We want to help you. Would you come now, please, as we stand and sing?